giving drink. You know, this is the obligation of Christians, because you have partaken of that deep well that was promised in Isaiah chapter 12, that well of salvation. That well, once you partook, you were to give that salvation message as well as the eternal gospel to those that were thirsty, those that needed watering. Our Father teaches in such a blessed way. How many of you have ever had a little potted plant of some kind and you forgot it for a couple of 3 weeks or a month on vacation and never watered it? What happened to it? It died. And do you know something? That's what people are in this world, that are never watered. They're dead spiritually. A dead plant. In the Greek tongue, and I want to go there because it draws from the deep well, pino, is to drink. That you're supposed to do. But then after pino, it's potezo. Potezo. Which is to say, to give drink. That's to share. To share what? The eternal gospel. To share truth. To stay focused. It also means in the plant world, from agriculture or even horticulture, is to irrigate. Now, within that, it doesn't mean take a fire hose and wash them down, okay? As some people seem to want to do. You water, you plant, you grow. You are God's garden, and that garden needs to be taken care of. And naturally, it's far better to give than to receive, is to see someone that is lost, absolutely lost, and miserable wretches that they are. And what's probably worse is someone that claims to be a Christian and isn't. They need water. So God made this ever so obvious, what it is that you're to do in looking at the plant world. You know, it is a bad thing when you see a drought that comes along. And when you see that drought, you see plants dry up and die. You see big trees die, even sometimes, if it's bad enough. The sad part next follows animals. Watering is ever so important, especially if it's in a spiritual connotation. Open your Bibles, if you would. Let's take just an example or two of this from the Old Testament before we go to the New Testament. In Genesis chapter 21, Hagar had been sent out by Sarah with her son Ishmael. And she wandered in the wilderness there in 21, and finally she could not stand to see her son die of thirst. So she left him and set herself apart a moment. And she prayed, and God spoke to that woman. And he opened her eyes to a berr, which is to say a well of living water. And she gave that water, and God also promised that her son would become a great nation. In the 21st chapter of the great book of Genesis, a whole people was starving. They were murmuring, "Why have you brought us out in the desert that we're all going to die?" And God took Moses and he said, "You take the same staff that you parted the sea with and you strike the rock." And he did, and water poured forth. Unfortunately, as it is written in Numbers chapter 20, next time he struck it twice, that's like re-crucifying Christ all over, for he is the rock that water comes forth from. You see, God's word doesn't change. That's why you've got to stay focused. He is that rock, that eternal rock, from whence that spiritual water flows. That gives life to those that are hopelessly lost, worthless, miserable wretches that they can be, and reinvigorates them and brings forth life again. How precious it is that our Father doesn't forget. Now, in the teaching to those that follow, that truly follow Christ, okay? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for me. Teachings here of a great scholar. Let's hear what he has to say. Chapter 3, verse 1, and it reads, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." This is why Paul had to teach on three levels, because you're going to have three different types listening to you, and you must always feed milk, meat, from the Word of God. Never forget any part of that, or God will not bless you. That's how simple it is. Never forget the little ones. Verse 2, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." You couldn't digest it. You're not ready for it. You must always remember the eternal gospel covers all bases, all segments of the Word of God, to bring truth, but most of all to bring God's blessings. In other words, God's got to bless something or it's not going anywhere. You're kidding yourself. Verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal," you're in the flesh, "for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" You know, it is natural that we as men sometimes put man first rather than God.
"Well, I just have to have my own attention because I'm special."
No, you're not. You just lost God's blessings, okay? God always comes first. That's no big deal. Then comes his blessings to all. Verse 4, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" One of you saying, this is religion, okay, different denominations. "Well, I be this and I be that." You see, there's only one gospel. And that one gospel is the gospel of Christ, the rock from which the blessings and that water, the living water, flow. Not from anywhere else will you find it. Verse 5, "Who then is Paul?" Well, he was a pretty good teacher, but he sure wasn't God. "And who is Apollos?" One of the best students of the Old Testament, but he wasn't God. "But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man." God distributes to those that take it and wish to use it. If you don't wish to use it, well, you won't get all that much, but maybe, you know, maybe if you water, you'll have a good reservoir. But you got to water before you're going to have the reservoir. Verse 6, "I have planted," Paul says, "Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." That's something you don't ever want to forget. Man doesn't give the increase. There's not a way in the world you can give increase to something you're working with. God gives it. What? With his blessings. He knows. He's got time for you. He's got enough time for you that he watches everything you do. And therefore, that's whether you get blessed or not. Okay? Stay focused on the Word of God. God gives the increase. If God's not pleased with you, hey, have a good trip. Verse 7, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." It is God that's important. Why? He's our everything. There's nothing in the flesh, or let me say the carnal world, that amounts to a hill of beans in a very short time from now. So you might as well get it out of your system. We're going into the eternity. And what a blessing that's going to be. Hey, you can have it even now with his blessings, with his With his blessings, you will be successful. You'll be a better waterer. You'll be a better planter. But that still doesn't make you anything. It's God that gives the increase. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That makes it pretty plain. You, on judgment day, collect for your labors. What you have done is how you enter the kingdom. But you must remember that even in your labors, it is God that gives the increase. You got that? I'm going to tell you something. You don't ever want to forget it. This is, you know, you got these people that are unlearned in God's Word that say, you must learn the prayer of Jabez. It works miracles. It's not the prayer of Jabez that works miracles. It's what Jabez prayed. He prayed for something for the people, not himself. Therefore, God honored it. God gave the increase. So let that be in your mind. Don't do things just for self, but for your Father in his to receive his blessings. Verse 9, for we are laborers, we're co-workers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. That means you're his garden. You're what he's got to, his gardener, you're what he's got to work with. Ye are God's building. You are also the temple. Don't ever take the temple anywhere you wouldn't want God to go. And God can go anywhere where there is sin to straighten it out, to fix it. As far as that's concerned, when it is done with wisdom and purpose. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, and boy was he, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth their own, but let every man take heed how he buildeth their own. You be careful what you try to build on that foundation. You know, false teachings will not stand. And that is not right, when you try to place it on that rock, it's going off. It's not going to stay. It's not going to be successful. In other words, you have to be oneness within the gospel, oneness within our Heavenly Father's work. And so many people will take this and say, well, do you love Jesus? That's all that's necessary. No, that's a lie. It's a wonderful first step. But what good is man without knowledge of God's wishes? What good is he to God if he doesn't know what God wants him or her to do? They're no good. Worthless. When he sent the word for you to absorb, his instructions on what it is that you are to do and how you're to do it in the gentleness of our Father when it's possible. Sometimes it isn't possible. But stay focused and stay true and stay to what is right when you sprinkle the children of God with truth. Set that example for them to follow. Just as they followed Christ, we can follow him because he was perfect. None of us are, unfortunately, and that's sad, isn't it? But that's our goal, and that's what we're supposed to strive for. Okay, open your books to Matthew chapter 10. What is the gospel and what is to be taught? Is it sweet sayings of man, or is it what Christ taught us to do? What did Christ bring us? Chapter 10, the great book of Matthew, verse 34, the part of the eternal gospel. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. What is that sword? It's the gospel. The gospel will spread families, the clients. Some families do not realize that the false Messiah appears first. And the other part of the family must sit back and see that part of the family step into the foot gates of hell. And when you love somebody, it's hard to see them step into the open gates of hell. Therefore, it can cause division very easily. But that division comes from love as well. That sword is the Word of God, which is a two-edged sword, as it is written in the first chapter of the great book of Revelation. It cuts both ways. Verse 35, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Over religion, I'm afraid, my friend, and unfortunately, that's the saddest part of the eternal gospel, is that it does do this, but at the same time, it's the best part, because that's the way we grow. That's the way, you know, if you love a loved one, you need to make a difference. Some people will never correct anyone. If you love them, you correct them. And unfortunately, that's what causes this division. Verse 36, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." This is as it is written in Mark 13, when Christ said, "You will be delivered up, you will not premeditate what you will speak beforehand, but you will speak that the Holy Spirit gives you at that moment, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit." You know? And then he says, mother will cause a daughter to be delivered up to death. Death is Satan. And if a mother is deceived, if she thinks Satan is Jesus, which many will, the false Messiah, they're going to say, "Have mercy on my daughter. She's been studying on her own, and she's all crossed up. Save her. Talk to her. Delivers her right up to the devil in her ignorance." This is why this trouble happens. So, just saying, "Do you love Jesus?" won't cut it, friend. You have to have the Word. Don't think for one moment I'm saying you shouldn't love Him. How could you be otherwise? Verse 37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." If you would sell out, you're not good enough for Him. You have to love less. In Luke chapter 14, it's translated hate, which is very bad. The word is love less in the Greek. And how could you but help love Christ more than anyone? You know what He did for you to give you the watering can? He died on the cross. The rock was struck once. It's not going to be struck twice. And He did that for you. Verse 38, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." He that cannot stay focused, he or she that cannot remain on the gospel of Christ, it's just not worthy of me. I can't use them. They're cold. 39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it." If your carnal life is more important than your spiritual life, sorry, you lost it. "And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Quite the contrary. Those that stay focused, that stay in Him, that still share that water of truth, will always prevail. Verse 40, "He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." In other words, when you have that water within you, when you receive it, and when you water Christ's own, His garden, which is His children, He knows it. He blesses it. 41, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." This is like the parable of the workers in the vineyard. "And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." You always get paid from God what you deserve, okay? What you get in life is what you deserve. You might say, well, I don't know, I got in a heap of trouble. I don't know what I did to deserve that. God knows you can come out of it. Satan's the one that did it to you, but God knows you're smart enough to work it out. You know how to kick the devil right in the teeth. Do it. You don't have to take that kind of stuff. Verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink, this is our subject, shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple. Do you understand that? A disciple is a student, not Christ, but a student. If you're just a student of the Word, and you give that cup of water, which is what the gospel, the truth, hope, and mean it, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. I know it, I see it, and I will bless it. That's for a student. I think that is so precious. No, you want to be careful when someone tells you all you have to do is believe and that's it. That's not what the Bible says. Now, do you believe man or do you believe the Word of God? I come not to bring peace. And what if you could find peace with Satan right in the middle of it, what kind of peace would that be? You know? What a mishmash. Mush. Nothing to stand up for. Just a mix. No right or wrong. Just all you have to do is just love, love, love. Now there's nothing wrong with love, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, but there's a lot. If you love the Lord, you cannot help but absorb, thirst, desire His Word, His leading, His direction, and let it be number one in your life whereby you can help others. You know, we live at a precious time, and there are people that are starving, people that are starving for truth, people that need help, that need a drop of water on their tongue as they're drying up like a potsherd and about to die. And some have the ability to put that water on that tongue, that word of truth, that word of hope. It is the gospel. God will reward you indeed. Okay, open your Bibles to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to pick it up with verse 30-something. Verse 34, subject watering, stay focused. Verse 34, Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, this is when he gathers them all in, this is a national thing, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When was the foundation of the world prepared? When? Even before the beginning. It was prepared. What? He was thinking of you. You that truly and are serious in following Him. It applies to you. He's divided them. He's got the sheep on one hand, the goats on the other. Bye-bye, goats. 35. For I was in hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. You know, it's hard sometimes to take a stranger in because in this world and time, you don't know what their intentions are. But if you're smart enough, you won't be made a fool of because of it. You can discern because God will give you spiritual discernment and you will know. But God expects us to tend His garden. to know the difference from right from wrong in doing his bidding. 36, I'm naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. 37, then shall the righteous answering say him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? Question. When did we do this? 38. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When did we do this? Verse 39. Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Question. Verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. When you sprinkle that little bit of water on that tongue that is starving for truth, for stability, then you've done it to the Lord. You've done it to your Heavenly Father. And he's going to bless you. Again, you got to be careful. Got to be careful. But spiritual discernment is a precious thing. Exercise it. A wise person understands. Verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. When you partake of that water, that living water, it's for a purpose. It's to sprinkle, it's to share, it's to place on and to that person that is starving, that needs help. You know, there are so many people that are distressed in their life. And as a learned Christian, you know how to arbitrate. You know right from wrong. You know what's right and what's wrong. And just one word, many times, of encouragement to someone that is down, even if it's an enemy, it can change a life. Be alert. Be on guard. Practice spiritual discernment. For when you are given a gift of God to water, not with a fire hose, but gently, with truth that changes lives, don't ever rob some child that needs that word. Be bold in pronouncing that word. Be bold when you see danger. Take care of it. Take care of business. Be in your Father's hand. He makes a division. Make sure you don't get cut out. And that's real simple. All you have to do is water. Water with the eternal gospel, which it may cause division, but it's division that is needed to straighten someone out. And if you be a child of God, even if you're a disciple, that is one disciplined in the Word, God will bless it. Why? God loves His children. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Spiritual discernment is a tough thing, but God will always aid you in that, you know, and will even protect you within that. It is a precious thing. Okay, chapter 12, let's pick it up with verse 18, if we may. What does verse 18 say in chapter 12, the great book of Romans? If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, some of you have neighbors that are just really good. And that's possible. But occasionally, you're going to have a neighbor that it's just not possible to live peaceably with. In other words, don't ever play the fool. If someone must, if they are a Satan follower, I'll put it that way, but you know what I mean. They have no common sense. That you cannot get along with them. They have one thing in mind, and that's to do you harm. You can't get along with them, so you divide. But if it be possible, 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And of course he's quoting here from the great book of Deuteronomy, and it happens to be the song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32. Our Father knows, so you know, I hope you understand when I say that's the song of Moses and it's our Father, it means he's talking to his elect, those that will be with him in the end generation when the song of Moses implies. Okay. If he sees someone trying to take advantage of you, you don't have to worry about it. Now, naturally, there are times as a leader, God expects you to take care of business, all right? That's in whether you're a leader of a family, a chapel, a church, whatever the case is. You take care of business, okay? But otherwise, as far as straightening people out, you leave that in God's hands. He will thump their gourd big time, okay? Especially if it harms a family or a church, it's not going to happen, okay? And you, just this past week, I had to run a man off the property. That's not a pleasant thing. Because if a person comes for healing, or for help, or for information, that's one thing. But when they come to bring trouble, what do you do about it? You give them more than they ask for. That's what you do. And you take care of business immediately. So, that unfortunately is some of the unpleasantries of being a pastor. Now, I consider it to be unpleasant. I don't like to tell somebody they have to go, but I have to protect the sheep also. And so it is, especially when we're in broadcasting and you got to have shh, quiet, okay? We don't put up with nonsense. How did I get off on that? Can you put that together? If it be possible, get along. If not, straighten it out. Take care of business. God will do it for you. Vengeance belongeth to our Father. Man, does he do it big time. Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Feed him what? Well, I hope it's not Satan's dribble. You feed him the word of God. Bring the scripture down on his head. If he thirst, give him a drink. You're prepared. You draw from a deep well. That well is within you, as it's written in Isaiah chapter 12. Share. Give him a part of that truth. What does that do? For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Which is simply to say, it's a Hebraism that means shame. It'll shame him. Snow him under with kindness. That's an old saying. Okay? Verse 21. Be not overcome of evil. Let's add spirit to that. Be not overcome of an evil spirit, but overcome evil or evil spirit with good. Well, then why did you run the man off if you didn't overcome the evil? Well, you overcame it with good by getting rid of him. Okay? Then it's good all the way around. You see what I'm saying? You have to practice discernment. And law and order is so precious. Many of us have fought and shed blood in foreign lands to keep that law and order present here in this nation so that people could enjoy being free citizens. So law and order is a precious thing. Don't ever sell yourself out, and always have it. Do what's right within your family, in your family regulations, based on the Word of God. Watering liberally your family with truth and helps that they grow in the Word of God. Now, in closing, let's go to John chapter 4. St. John chapter 4. We're going to cover quite a bit of it, so when I say in closing, don't let me deceive you. I'm not ready. Chapter 4, subject watering, sprinkling truth, hope. Chapter 4, verse 1, St. John, and it reads, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John," I mean, they heard he was doing so good, he was drawing people away from their church, got it? Verse 2, "Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples," meaning add the word "did" there, his disciples did the baptizing. Verse 3, "He left Judea and departed again into Galilee," being the circuit. He always making that circuit. 4, "And he must needs go through Samaria." Now, Samaria means watch mountain. And let that perk your spiritual mind, that Christ is going to deliver a message in watch mountain to watchmen. Verse 5, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar," it's Shechem, okay, in the old Hebrew town Shechem. Sychar means an intoxicant, if you will. Shechem kind of meant the back, all right, in the Hebrew time. I'm speaking Greek and Hebrew here, okay? "Near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." Do you know that Joseph's bones are buried very near this place where Jesus sat on that well? What does that say to you? He's saying, go back in history. This is important. This well was 9 feet across. It was 75 feet deep at the time of that it was first documented, and much rubble is in it, so probably originally it was a lot deeper than that. And you kind of see that Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, come to life in this well, the well of our fathers. I mean, it gave water, it gave life in a parched land. And Jesus sits upon that well. Joseph himself, with the Israelites, carrying his bones and bringing them back here so that he would not be buried here. Joshua chapter 24, along about verse 32, will fill you in on that. What I want you to see is how much history is involved, why he's here on Watch Mountain, and why there is so much more to the gospel that you need to bring into your teachings and your workings, and how important it is in the eternal gospel. Verse 6, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour." It was noon. It was hot. About the middle of the day. Verse 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink." Now, the people of the land of Judea didn't get along all that well with the Samaritans, because when the land was cleared out, kind of, I don't want to judge the people, and I'm not about to, but it was considered by some that only riffraff kind of moved in, people that wouldn't fight and ran, plus riffraff from many other places. It just didn't have a very good reputation. But you can't judge a place by what some say. It's by the people themselves. What Christ is going to teach here that even though this is Jacob's well, even though Joseph is buried in him, that his water is for everything, all of God's children that want to drink, that want to partake of it. That's the lesson. Verse 8, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. He was there by himself. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, or you're from the land of Judea, I can tell by your clothes, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Question, why would you do that? It just wasn't done. For the Jews, or those people of Judea, the Israelites, have no dealings with the Samaritans. There's just that big block there. Christ has dealings with everyone that believes upon him. Everybody that needs that drop of water. It is our duty to share that drop of water. That truth. That living water. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, if thou knewest the gift of God, the wonderful gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him that he would have given thee living water. You're not going to understand that if you're not familiar with Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, okay? You're just not going to, because Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3 declares that the deep well of salvation is Christ, and that you're supposed to magnify his name, that you're supposed to bring it forth, to teach it, to water with it from that well. That's what he's talking about, okay? Verse 11, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? You don't have a rope and you don't have a bucket. This baby is 75 feet deep. How are you going to get water out of it, this water you're talking about? She's thinking carnal, in other words. I want you to think spiritual. The Son of God is sitting on that well, the well of Jacob. Father of nations, Israel, contended with Almighty God, used of God, that the Jesus himself, Son of Mary, Son of God, sitting on this well, offering her that wonderful water of truth, of life. Verse 12, and she says, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? I mean, they were all watered out of this well. It's a good well. Well, what kind of water are you talking about? 13, Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. It's going to sustain your carnal body. But you go out and do some hard work, break up a big sweat, and you're going to be wanting more. You're going to need more to stay alive. I'm talking about something different. 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. Don't read over that. Not just a little sprinkle on your tongue. You become a well of water. You've got plenty to spare. A well of water springing up into everlasting life in the everlasting gospel. Now, very difficult for some to understand that there's only one open door to eternal life, everlasting. And he that was the rock that the true water came forth even in the wilderness, as an example. And then of Jacob who dug this well, you know, hey, 9 feet across, 9 feet in diameter, and 75 feet deep, supposed to be a lot of it solid rock. That was not an easy task, but the well was there, and so it was, the well of Jacob. But a greater well was sitting on top of that well than the very Beer, the well itself. The everlasting gospel is the best thing in the world. It is Christ's orders, his plan of the day, his instructions to his children. And never overlook the fact that once you partake of it, you become a well yourself, and you are able to disperse and to present water of understanding to the children of God that are a dying plant. They're wilting for lack of knowledge that you have it. And never forget what we covered. It isn't you. It isn't the well in you that causes you to be the giver of this increase. But it comes from God, Almighty God. God gives the increase. We're only servants. But you do have that well. You know something? He trusts you with that. That well of knowledge. The well of, he does. He loves you enough that he trusts you with it. That you're going to know what to do with it. That it affects lives. It can even change lives. Don't ever let anything get in the way of your participating in the everlasting gospel. Everlasting life. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here hither to draw. I don't like making this trip out here in the middle of the day. It's hot. Give me some of that water that I don't have to come back here, showing a total lack of understanding. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Verse 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. You told the truth about that. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. Now, this old boy you're living with, he's sure not your husband. He had never seen this woman before. Don't judge the woman's morals. That's not what's important necessarily. It's the fact that he knew that he was a prophet, that he was able to tell her. He did not judge her. He simply stated the truth of the matter, and that you should always do. Okay, nothing wrong with that necessarily, if it serves a correct purpose. Verse 19, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. How could you have known? Do you know something? She did partake of that living water, though. Do you know that it's proved in this same chapter? Skip all the way to verse 39 with me. Verse 39 reads, And many, not just a few, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I ever did. Her testimony was documents that she partook of that living water. And she shared it in that town. And not a few, but many. This old gal had five husbands, and she was living with an old boy then, they say, Jesus said. She wasn't married to him. Did that stop when she asked for the living water, and when she testified of the rock, the Messiah, God used her to bring forth many. So don't you ever dare pull back from sprinkling, from putting a drop of water on a dying tongue, for bringing truth, for helping a dying nation. with knowledge and wisdom that sets things right and gives people hope in that eternal, everlasting gospel and in eternal and everlasting life, the living water. And the very word to potedso, to irrigate, I mean, that's what it means. Be an irrigator, okay? Give life from the well that is within you. It means to give drink. Give drink to others. Let it be the knowledge and the word of Almighty God, the true word, in depth, when it is possible. And if it be possible, know even how to handle that that is wrong. For it will right, God will right it, don't worry. It'll correct itself. Water, living water, how precious it is. What an opportunity that we have as servants of the living God in such a cruel world. You know, when people are being beheaded in the name of religion, it's past thirst. It's disgust. But don't worry, God's on our side, and our brave men and women are taking care of business. Big time. Okay. Everything's going to be all right. So love our Father. Remember the well that is within you, and don't ever forget it. You know, you have different kinds of wells. You know that even the old Jacob's well dries up certain parts of the time of the year at its present level. Originally, some people think it was over 100 feet deep and the rock has fallen in. But now at 75 feet, it's dry part of the year. Don't ever let your well dry up. Do you know how you can tell? When you have a hard time staying focused, something else is taking your attention, your business is going bad, pray. Let Father fix it, okay? Trust Him. Trust the Father. And use wisdom, and you'll always come out okay, all right? He will fix it. But you got to use wisdom and knowledge, and never play the part of just blindly going forth. You know, blind faith, maybe it's good for some, but He likes for you to know what you're doing. Question, answer. Well, when people tell me something, I believe it. A wise person always hears both sides, or you've heard nothing. Okay? Nothing. That's what you must do. This man I ran out of the church, do you know how long I spent with him and I didn't have the time? I spent about 20 minutes. And I told him, I said, I've given you all the time I'm going to. You better say something that interests me. And he would go from happy to angry in split seconds. Which he had a problem, but he didn't ask me to fix the problem or to ask if I knew somebody that could. I do. Okay, I know somebody that can fix anything. Our Heavenly Father, He gives the increase. So, you got a well, use it sparingly, all right? Now, let me tell you something. In the state I was born in and raised in, sometimes you have an old possum will fall in your well. It's contaminated. Don't let somebody contaminate your well. Okay? Keep it covered. That's wisdom. Okay? And be progressive. Not for the world, but for God. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for Your truth. Thank You, Father, for Your word. Thank You, Father, for the well within, Father, that is a oneness in the garden of Your people, Father. We thank You for it. The power, the life that springs forth from that water, Father. And even in the eternity, we know from the throne, in the throne of millennium, that water is still pours from under the very throne of God, that spiritual water. Thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strongest Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
The Book of St. John. What a fantastic book we have here in tape for you, for your convenience of studying as you drive or whatever the case might be, in the comforts of your own home. St. John, the writer of Revelation, as well as this great book of St. John. John taught in a way that he not only translated the word and interpreted, fully translated the names as well as other things that made this word, this book, so easy to understand, helping the very reader see Christ in his work as God, Savior of the world. This book of John giving you the identity of the Kenites, as well as those events that would transpire in the end generation. That's your generation, beloved.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645. 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.